Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ten is expected to reverse course now on their decision to postpone the fall football season. There have been increased rumblings of late that the Big Ten was seriously considering turning around on its mid-August decision to postpone the fall campaign. Joining us right now to talk to us about this and other aspects about the Big Ten returning is Adam Rittenberg of ESPN. You can follow him at ESPN Rittenberg on Twitter with Chris Ron, Jimmy Anthony Stalter. Adam, appreciate you joining us. So this looks like it's really happening, right? There's not going to be in 24 hours Big Ten saying, you know what, we're just kidding.
Well, Anthony and Chris, if that happens, I may have to just take a vacation because this has been brutal to cover, really, since it started. And they better freaking be going through with the season at this point. I think they are. I mean, the clear message out of today with the news conference and then just other individual press availabilities today was that, you know, listen, the medical information improved significantly. I know that, you know, certain fan bases and politicians are going to want to take credit for this, but if the testing doesn't improve and if other areas just medically don't get better for the president, they're not reversing course. They were pretty steadfast in their decision to postpone. I think it was a premature move because things are so fluid and everything is so new with COVID, but the testing improved significantly. There's improved information around the heart issues that were a big concern for presidents. Some of the issues that athletes were having after recovering from COVID-19, contact tracing, which is a huge problem around much of college football, including some of the Big Ten states, that should be easier to manage. And so here we are. And September 16th, we have a season. It should kick off in about 5 weeks' time, so that's certainly good news.
So there is rapid testing or more rapid testing that is available to the universities, and that's why, or at least that's the way I'm reading this, that's why they're doing this, is because there's better access to better testing. But it also costs money. So was that ever an issue for the Big Ten in doing something like this? Because it's very hard to look at the situation and feel like none of this has anything to do with money. And I feel like it has to have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, Chris, you're right. I mean, everything does cost money, but I think when you're looking at the possibility of no fall football and just the losses that you're already taking, if you can get a product on the field and have a season that, you know, still generates some revenue television-wise and others, be part of the college football playoff, would be a big, big boost. And so I think there's enough reasons to justify the cost. And it seems like the costs have gone down a little bit, you know, with the rapid testing. I also, the reliability has gone up. I mean, we heard about these tests fairly early in the pandemic, but everything you heard was, or not everything, but a lot of what you heard was, well, they're not reliable. And there's a lot of false results. And that doesn't seem to be the case anymore. I mean, there really was confidence in talking to a couple of the lead team physicians today about this, that they would be able to get the results that they need and then manage the virus if it does come into contact with teams, which it already has been doing. And so, that everything costs money, and the Big Ten still hasn't announced an agreement with which lab it's going to be using. But I think a lot of these leagues are realizing that, you know, that cost is worth it if it means that that there can be a season for all these teams, that, you know, not a full season, but at least a partial season.
Senior writer for college football at ESPN, Adam Rittenberg, joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Adam, a lot of people are going to be wondering here, as again, the Big Ten is likely to start up on October 24th. Now that's the relaunch here for the Big Ten. or the launch for 2020. Will all teams, all programs participate this season?
Yes, and that was something that seemed very much in doubt last week, even as I talked to coaches and others that were, you know, around this process, is that, okay, the Big Ten was going, it was trending towards announcing a fall season, but several teams might have to opt out because of the reasons that I outlined. You know, just locally, it was going to be too difficult for them, or what was going on their campus. Or one thing that we found out today, which I thought was really interesting, is that Northwestern's team doctor said that not all the Big Ten schools had access to these cardiac MRI machines that can help detect myocarditis, which is a big concern for the president. Now they have that access. And so this was, again, the right way they needed to come out of a very messy process was unanimously agreeing to proceed with the season, and then everybody in the league going forward with the season. Because, you know, there's been a lot of elements to this saga, guys, that have been un-Big Ten, have not been reflective how this conference usually functions. And one of them, I think, that would have been as well would be a season with only some of the teams, not all of the teams. And so I think this is the best possible outcome, is to have everybody on board to attempt the season. I do think it delayed the start of the season by a week. The Barry Alvarez from Wisconsin saying that October 17th, and that was the date that we were hearing, had been presented to the Big Ten presidents, and instead they bumped it back a week to the weekend of the 23rd, 24th, I think in part so that all the teams could be participating, or at least try to participate.
And if I'm not mistaken, Adam, it was 9 universities that had to change their minds on this, correct?
Right. So the Big Ten bylaws state for any major action, you need 60% or more of the schools. And, that was why the original postponement, they ultimately, with a lot of arm twisting, came out with the vote tally, which was 11-3 to postpone. And so in order to, resume the season, or start the season, I should say, they would have needed 6 of those initial presidents to change their postponement vote to a play vote. And now we have obviously all 14 in the play camp.
Adam Rittenberg joining us right now in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. He covers college football as a senior writer for ESPN, does a terrific job. Okay, so Adam, now the expected decision by the Big Ten, that's going to leave the Pac-12 as the only Power 5 conference that's holding out on its postponement. Do you see anything changing in regards to the Pac-12 playing in the fall?
Well, so this is interesting because all along we've heard, even when the Pac-12 announced its rapid testing agreement with Quidel Corporation a couple of weeks ago, that they're having to deal with these really tough restrictions in the state of California and in the state of Oregon, which, you do the math, that's 6 of the 12 schools that essentially couldn't do anything. They couldn't practice. They couldn't gather in large numbers. And until those restrictions were loosened, it was going to be impossible for the Pac-12 to start their season. And so yesterday you had the USC players come out with a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom of California, basically saying, we have these rapid tests. We've been doing everything right. Can you ease your state restrictions so we can start practicing, getting ready for a fall season? We want to play. And I just literally saw this about 20 minutes ago. Governor Newsom was quoted as saying that the state restrictions aren't what's stopping the Pac-12 from getting on the field. So there's some things that are going to have to get worked out. The good news is the Pac-12 already has an agreement for rapid testing. They're trying to get that in place by the end of the month. But our sources have told us that it just isn't going to happen in October for them. It might happen mid to late November. Maybe some of the news today changes that. But until those California schools can really get moving, it's going to be difficult to see the Pac-12 on the same timeline for the CFP as the other 4 power conferences. I mean, the California restrictions were always, sources in that league were telling us, top of mind as far as when the Pac-12 put out its initial schedule, delaying it as long as possible because they didn't think USC and UCLA could do anything. So that's been a driving force throughout their situation, and maybe it's changing now with the governor's comments. I don't know.
Adam, we've seen some players opt out from this season. Not a ton, but we have seen some. So if the Pac-12 does decide to play, and in the Big Ten, we got news just a little bit ago that Dylan McCaffrey, who was he was going to compete for the quarterback job at Michigan, and his parents were part of the Let Them Play protest that happened earlier in the month. Well, now he's decided to opt out from the season, which seems like a strange, conflict there. Do you think that's going to happen a lot?
Well, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who opts out still and then who opts back in. I mean, there was some talk today about Rondale Moore of Purdue, one of the better wide receivers in the country. Maybe he'll opt back in. And obviously, anyone who's signed with an agent and intends to go to the draft would have to get a waiver to come back. Ohio State cornerback Sean Wade is in that camp as well. You know, the McCaffrey situation is interesting, certainly with the timing. You have to also remember he was involved in the quarterback competition. They have been practicing. Maybe there's a resolution to that quarterback competition that didn't go the way he wanted, and now he's seeking other opportunities. So obviously the COVID situation and whether there's going to be a season or not is top of mind for a lot of these players, but some of them are also competing for jobs and maybe not getting the news that they want, and that's impacting their decisions of where they might play this fall.
Adam, terrific stuff. Love your reporting. We really appreciate it. Provided a lot of insight for us on not only the Big Ten, but the Pac-12 as well. Thank you.
Yeah, Anthony and Chris, appreciate you guys having me on.